May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 952, 952. Beloved Saviour, faithful friend, the joy of all thy blood-bought train, in mercy to our aid descend, or else we worship thee in vain. Hymn 952.
Thank you. Our reading from God's precious word this evening you'll find firstly in Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read the first 13 verses, and then we'll turn to the first epistle of Peter and read chapter 5. But firstly this evening we'll turn to Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 2. And we'll read the first 13 verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And now we'll turn to the first epistle of Peter, and we'll read chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter in chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll leave the reading of God's word there this evening, and may each one of us now be given that needed help to truly pray. O most holy and almighty Lord God, we in thy mercy have been favoured to gather together again to worship this evening. But Lord, we come and it is in the middle of another busy week. And yet, Lord, may we find rest in this place this evening and find rest in the knowledge that thou knowest all about us. So, dear Lord, as we gather now, may we do so with that right reverence, that heart to worship thee. Yet, Lord, we know that without thee we can do nothing. Without thee we cannot remove those distracting thoughts. Without thee we cannot give ourselves that listening ear. Yet, Lord, we pray, and may many before us beseech thee now, that tonight we may be drawn away from the things of this world and find peace in thy house and in thee. O Lord, we come and we fall before thee, and we acknowledge thy goodness, that we can gather in this place, that in wrath thou hast remembered mercy, and that thou hast not consumed us with thy righteous anger. For Lord, as we even look back on this day, we come confessing our many sins. We have to prove more and more, and hour by hour, that sin is mixed with all we do. And yet, Lord, we are thankful that we can come in the knowledge that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So enable one another this evening to come boldly to the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Lord, may hearts be open to unburden themselves this evening at the throne of grace. Help us to rightly value thy word that we have before us. Help us to rightly value this place of worship. Help us to give thanks for thy restraining hand that has been kept upon us. For Lord, left to ourselves, we tremble where we would be. Lord, may thy mercy ever ring upon our lips. In whatever case and state we may be in tonight, one thing we all have in common, thou hast been merciful unto us. Yet, Lord, maybe there is one and another this evening with that real burden upon their souls. One and another crying tonight, give me Christ, or else I die. One and another desiring that food, Lord, from off the heavenly table. Something to strengthen them, for they feel famished and about to die. O Lord, by thy blessed Spirit, apply thy word with power, so that one and another may truly go home, thankful to have gathered tonight. And may the people see this evening no man, save Jesus only. May that be our aim tonight, to point to a precious Saviour. For Lord, what else have we to look to? We look within and we despair. We look without and we're troubled. O Lord, cast our eyes heavenward unto thee. Give us that understanding to see that we're only here for a speck of time, then a never-ending eternity. And then when we have that rightly in our mind, we will willingly walk on in the way that thou dost lead us. We will willingly forsake all and follow thee. We will boldly go on, not in our strength, but in thy strength. So tonight, Lord, may there be a desire in the hearts of everyone. Lord, we would not pray that just one and another may be blessed tonight. But Lord, may we ask big things, that all may be blessed, that none may be left out. Lord, may it be the case that this evening, for thy glory, souls may be truly fed. But Lord, there may be those cold, hard, indifferent, dead in trespasses and sins. And if that be the case, Lord, do make alive. Do give that new heart within them, that seeks, that asks, that knocks, that longs for mercy. Give them that understanding of who they are by nature. Give them an understanding of a thrice holy God. Give them an understanding of that need of that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then make Christ exceedingly precious to their souls. Lord, we are thankful that there are many that have turned out this evening. And yet, Lord, if there are those that could be here this evening but aren't for one reason or another, Lord, we would pray for them. But those who are legitimately at home, Lord, those who cannot come for varying reasons, Lord, we would pray for them as they may be listening at home. Lord, give them that listening ear, if it be thy will. And Lord, touch many, we beg. We are thankful for this means where there are those that are lawfully detained, that they can hear thy word. And Lord, may it yet continue to be blessed. So Lord, do be with the young people that are gathered here this evening and the children that would gather normally on thy day. Do be with them all. And as they go through their education, whether at school or whether homeschooled, we pray that they may be given that all needed help. Where there are those with exams this year, or maybe those mock exams at this present time, Lord, do help them. Those that have those varying steps in front of them this year, different changes to their pathway. Lord, may they be much in prayer as they go through those stages, seeking for thy guidance, guiding and directing them, and keeping them in that narrow way. Oh Lord, the temptations of the world are great, but Lord, do keep them, we truly beg. Lord, we desire that as we go onwards, Lord, as parents, and we pray for the parents here, that they will be given much wisdom and help and grace. And yet, Lord, we pray for all in the midst of life, those with much to occupy their minds, Lord, we would pray that they will be given that help day by day, those in business, those in employment. May they be those right examples to those round about them. And Lord, may they be given that much needed help, especially at these times of uncertainty that we live in and that all needs will be supplied. or where there may be one and another that are caught up in the various industrial actions that are prevalent at this time. Lord, do give them wisdom to navigate through this pathway. And Lord, may there be truly that right respect in all aspects of life for those that are placed in authority over us. We pray for those older in years here. We pray for those that feel the afflictions now upon them, feel their natural strength and faculties beginning to fail, and know that there cannot be many years or decades left in their life. Oh, touch them and draw near to them in the latter part of their life, so that they may know and have that sweet hope that it is well with them and will be well when called to die. Oh Lord, we struggle on here below with the world, the flesh, the devil. We struggle with those varying temptations, whatever our age may be. So Lord, we truly desire that thou wilt be with those older in years and comfort them. We will pray for those that mourn, those that have those lonely pathways to walk in, those widows, those widowers that have those many lonely hours. We truly beg and desire that thou wilt so bless them. Lord, we will pray for the deacons here. Help them as they undertake their duties week by week and month by month. All that falls upon them, we pray that they may continue to have that love and unity one with another, and may be given much wisdom as they are set over this flock here. Do help them in it, and do be with the church too, we truly beg. And guide and direct them, Lord, we pray. We pray for the church here. Lord, do help them. Add to them, we beg. May there be many that are constrained to put on that open profession of faith, to acknowledge to many what the Lord has done for them. Oh Lord, nothing is too hard. Do break through, we pray, and touch hearts even this year, that the pool before us may be opened before too long, for thine honour and glory once more. None are too young, none are too old, no case is too hard. So come, we pray, and work mightily. We pray for this village and the surrounding villages. Lord, may this place be a beacon. May there be those that are added to the congregation. May there be souls that are brought in seeking a saviour. Lord, we desire that this may be the case, that Zion may be strengthened in this day, for truly we are brought low. There is much to concern us, much to trouble us. O Lord, where we are going against thy word, where we are straying, where we have strayed, Lord, turn us again as a nation and as churches. Lord, do be with those that faithfully preach here week after week. O Lord, may there be that help granted. Lord, and as there are those varying ministers, may there be that flowing together from time to time and that encouragement for them as a church and congregation here. We will pray for those causes of truth that mourn. We will pray especially for the church and congregation at Luton Bethel at this time. Do draw near and help them in their grief at the loss of their pastor. Lord, do be with them. Be with the deacons there. Give them much wisdom. And do be with all the family as they mourn the loss of a grandfather, a father and a husband at this time. Do comfort them, help them, and may they know, truly know and feel that their dear father and husband is now with thee in glory and is with Christ, which is far better. Oh Lord, may we be given that desire to depart and to be with Christ. Lord, thou knowest how we are so earthbound. Yet, Lord, if we have tasted a little of thy love, Lord, may we long to know more. May we long to see the King in all his glory. Lord, may we desire, Lord, a heavenly crown. Yet, Lord, while we're on this earth, we may feel that we are wearing that crown of thorns. Lord, may we have our eyes drawn to Christ, drawn to that love, drawn to Calvary. For it is that alone that will keep us here. It is that alone that will truly be with us. It's that alone that will keep us in this way. Lord, we would pray for our land, our nation at this time of uncertainty, this time of discontent, this time of economic uncertainty. We pray, Lord, that thy hand may be seen in it, and that many may acknowledge that thy hand is in it. Lord, turn us as a nation and as nations of the developed West which have so turned away from thee, may there be that realization how foolish we have been. And yet, Lord, we are thankful that even in the past few weeks, there have been many eyes opened to see the foolishness of the transgender ideology that has been promoted so highly in this nation and in Scotland too. We give thanks that there has been confusion, and may many eyes, more eyes be opened to see how wrong these things are. We are created as man and woman, as thou hast created us, Lord, and there can be nothing else. We people can say whatever they want to say about who they may think they are, but Lord, they are as thou hast created. And may all of us see that we are one thing, that is sinners in thy sight. So, Lord, we pray, do open the eyes of our leaders to look again to that sure foundation, thy word, and to cease pursuing the sandy ground of man's own thoughts. Man is pursuing that which is right in his own eyes, and every man's thoughts are different, and no one can see where it will lead, or very few. So be with those in Parliament that stand for that which is right. We are thankful that there are one or two that truly stand up and acknowledge thy name. Give them strength. Give them wisdom to carry on and do so. Lord, we pray for those at this time in the lands of Turkey and Syria and those affected nations by that earthquake. Oh Lord, how thankful we should be that we live in a land where we do not suffer these things. Yet Lord, we know not what will befall us. But be with all those that are in great anguish, sorrow, pain and suffering at this time. And Lord, draw near. And where there are thy people in that land, may this be an opportunity for them to set forth a saviour. Those churches out there that may be doing good, Lord, at this time, do give them that strength to carry on. And where there are those conflict zones throughout the world, do yet grant peace, if it be thy will. O Lord, we look around, there's much to trouble us. Yet may we rest in this, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Nothing is done without thy permission, without thy bidding. Lord, may we find rest in that this evening. So as we gather tonight, may we gather united. May we gather desiring to worship thee, gather with that heart softened to receive the word. And yet, Lord, we have to deliver the word. May we just be tonight thy messenger with thy message and nothing else. Give us every word to speak so that we do not mar it with our own foolishness. But Lord, through the foolishness of preaching, may souls be blessed. And may souls be strengthened. Lord, it is thy will, it is thy word. But Lord, thou hast promised that if we ask, thou wilt give. So give us a blessing tonight, we pray, as we ask according to thy will, desiring that thou wilt come and be one with us. May we cry with the hymn writer, come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise, dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. That's our desire, Lord. May it be met this evening. Forgive all that we've asked wrongly and make up in giving where we do so fail. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1064. 1064. How vain are all things here below, how false and yet how fair. Each pleasure has its poison too, and every sweet a snare. Hymn 1064.
To help us each here this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word, I'll ask you to turn with me to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 5. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 5, but I'll reread verses 5 to 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But the word upon my mind to try and speak from this evening is this: for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Peter here, as we read in the first verse of the first chapter, was writing to the scattered church. Those throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and so on. But writing to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He was writing to Christians. And he wrote this to them with this desire for them to be holy. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. A great problem in the world at that time was the unholiness, the depravity. You know, we can often think our day in which we live, how wicked it is. But I think if we look in detail at what the days were like in the early church, they were no better, and in fact were probably worse. So Peter had to write to them to encourage them, to instruct them in so many ways, whether it be the duty of wives and husbands, whether it be the basics of the Christian faith, but to help them in their life. And it's so applicable to us today still, isn't it? And especially this fifth chapter. That submission to, as it is here, the elders of the church. Not elders by age, but those in authority. We're living in a time where there is no respect for authority, or little. We are living in a time and an era where it is every man for themselves. We are living in a time of pride and not in a time of humility. So how does God view us tonight? As the proud one, or as the humble? We sung, didn't we, in that first hymn this evening, number 952. We humbly for thy coming wait, seeking to know thee as thou art. We bow as sinners at thy feet and bid thee welcome to our heart. The Christian pathway is a pathway of humility, a pathway of submission, a pathway of being laid low. My thoughts go to that other hymn, number 32. Whatever prompts the soul to pride or gives us room to boast, except in Jesus crucified, is not the Holy Ghost. That blessed spirit omits to speak of what himself has done and bids the enlightened sinner seek salvation in the Son. So as we try and look through this subject together this evening, we'll consider pride, God's response to it. We'll consider humility and he who gives it. But we'll consider truly who we are looked to. That one who truly humbled himself. God resisteth the proud. We can view pride as a little sin if we're not careful. We can categorize sin into different degrees in our mind. And we do look at pride as being a small sin. Oh, it's only something that wells up occasionally. You look through your hymn book, see how many hymns speak about pride. And you know, we could probably spend the rest of the service this evening just reading the Bible and what it has to say about pride. It's because God hates it. Proverbs 6, we read in verses 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And what's the first one? The first one is a proud look. We believe in the inspired word of God, but we also believe in the inspired order of those words. A proud look is first, despised by God. Many, many words in Proverbs that say the same. We have in Proverbs 16, verse 18 too, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Now that is an expression we even hear today, isn't it? Pride goeth before a fall. A well-known expression. God hates it. And yet we've all got it in us, haven't we? We've all got it in us. There is, in a way, a right pride. There is, in a way, a right care, a right diligence, a right way in which we should do our best in all that we turn our hand to. But it's when we want the glory, we want the acknowledgement, we want the praise. If any of us can do anything in any way, it's only as God has given us the ability to do it and the strength to do it, and how infrequently we acknowledge it. But really, maybe for a while we should consider, what is pride? What does it mean to be proud? It's raising ourselves up so that people look at us. It is making an idol out of ourselves. We need to be kept low. We need to understand that dust, from dust we were made, unto dust we shall return. Whatever we can create, whatever we can earn, whatever we can gather together in this life, it's all going to be gone soon when we're laid in the grave. But we think we're something, and we want to be thought of as something. It's that raising up of ourselves, isn't it? That lifting up, that making ourselves something which we really aren't. That's what pride is. And my thoughts go to the words in Ezekiel, which I turned up earlier today. That really was Satan's downfall, wasn't it? In Ezekiel 28, that angel, that cherubim, that cherub that was thrown out. We read in Ezekiel 28. "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." And what was the reason? "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, I'll cast thee to the ground, I'll lay thee before kings, that they may behold me. And so it goes on. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Is your heart lifted up tonight in any way? Your heart lifted up? Do you not know who you are? Whether that be in providence or in grace. Do you not know that you don't deserve anything you've got? Do you not know that you're a vile, filthy, hell-deserving sinner? That's what you deserve. That's what we need to be humbled under. That thought of who we truly are. But the problem is, when pride takes root in our heart, it blinds us. Jesus said so many times, didn't he, in his life, when he was upon this earth, about the effects of that pride. And it was so in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, wasn't it? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was proud. And that pride had made him blind so that he didn't see how far short he came. He thought there was enough. He thought it was okay that he did all that he was told to. Fasted twice in the week, gave all his tithes. He thought that would see him through. He was proud of it and his eyes were blinded. Is that you here tonight? You think that you're okay? Has the pride of your upbringing, the pride of your church, the pride of your denomination blinded you? Well, I'm better than my neighbour. I'm better than that man down the street. I'm better than that beggar that I see in the town. I'm better than that person you read of in the newspaper or see on the news. Are you? If you are, you're full of pride. You're blinded, like this Pharisee. Or that your eyes may be opened, like those of the publican who had to stand afar off. He could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why? Because God had humbled him. What did Jesus say? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And this is the problem, isn't it? It's so counterculture to what we're in, isn't it? We are told to be the very best we can be. Make the most of everything you have. You have one life, live it, live proudly. It's not the way of the scripture. It's to be made low and is to be kept low. The first time, the word of God, well, in fact, it was a hymn that made an impression upon me, was one week evening in Eastbourne Chapel. I could not tell you who was preaching. It was probably Mr. Seth Mercer. I do not remember what the text was. But I remember one hymn that was given out. And I'd have probably been, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, something like that. And it was that hymn 686. Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low. Seeking only thee to know. Weaned from my lordly self, weaned from the miser's pelf, weaned from the scorner's ways, weaned from the lust of praise, all that feeds my busy pride, cast it evermore aside, bid my will to thine submit, lay me humbly at thy feet. It's a beautiful hymn. How infrequently we feel to be there. But he will keep his people low. He will cast them down. If they get lifted up, he will chop their legs away again so they're back in the dust. Made like a little child, of their strength and wisdom spoiled, seeing only in thy light and walking only in thy might. That's how the publican had to walk, beating upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But that same pride, doesn't it? It not only blinds us, but it elevates us above other people in our own eyes. That was the problem with the disciples, wasn't it? They had it. They had it in their hearts, that pride. We read in Mark chapter 10 about that pride that some of those, James and John it was, wasn't it? The sons of Zebedee came unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. Oh, what a thing it is to think that we're better than other people. Do you sit here tonight thinking you're better than anybody else here? Do you? May the Lord open your blind eyes to see that there's one thing we all have in common, whatever our age, whatever our upbringing, whatever our status in this life, so-called, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And what do people hate more than anything else? It is those that lift themselves up, isn't it? So what happened to the other 10 disciples, wasn't it? When the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. They saw them trying to make something they had no right to be. It made them raise themselves up over the others, and it created strife. It's what pride does so often. You see it. It creates strife. It creates problems. Someone's trying to be something above somebody else. That's when trouble arises. But pride as well, it causes stubbornness. That was Naaman's problem, wasn't it? Told what to do to cure himself. I'm not going to wash myself in that river. I'm not going to walk that pathway. I'm not going to do that. I'm who I am. That's not what I do. Doesn't matter what you say you are. Doesn't matter what you think you are. What matters is what the Word of God says. And you may think this, you may think that, you may think the other. But if the Word of God commands something, if the Word of God says something, that's what we're to follow. Pride leads to stubbornness. Pride leads to thinking you can even above the Word of God. That's what does it. The pride of the heart. And in a way, that pride, when it gets a hold upon us, bars us from heaven. Once again, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, Jesus called that little child unto him. When the disciples said, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called that little child, set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was that child? A pattern of innocence and humility. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's clear, isn't it? Clear from the Saviour's lips. Except ye be converted. Except ye become as a little child. Except ye be humbled. Where will ye be? Where will ye be? But in our text we read, don't we? Pride. God resisteth the proud. And we need to move on. But just to touch briefly, there are many examples in the Word of God resisting the proud. We think of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, saying those proud things and instantly cut down. We think of Herod in the book of Acts, that great oration, that great speech, those men that lifted him up as some great icon. And instantly Herod was struck down and eaten by worms or whatever it was. Humbled. God resists the proud. But we need to move on in our text. Because he giveth grace to the humble. We don't want to concentrate all the time, do we, on God resisting us? We want to look at what he gives us. He giveth grace to the humble. Are you in need of that this evening? We read of it in James, don't we? He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Is that what you need tonight? More grace. Wherefore he saith, again we have it, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Turn the pages of your Bible. Once your eyes are open to this, you'll see it from Genesis to Revelation. He gives grace to the humble. And to the humble alone. But I want to touch really and move it on to looking to Christ before too long. He giveth grace to the humble. And what better example have we got really than Job in our Bible? So much we can learn from that book. Job was brought very low. Job was humbled. Job was laid in the dust, literally, scraping himself with a broken pot, wishing that he had never been born. He was brought low. He was brought so low he had to cry, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth." But in Job's humbling, he was given grace to see the power of his God. God questioned Job time after time after time in the latter chapters of that book of Job. "Job, where were you when I did this? Job, can you do this? I can do it. Job, look at the stars in the sky. Can you keep them up there?" And so on and so on, question after question. And Job was brought lower and lower and lower. But what did it do to him? Yes, it brought him low. But he was given grace, wasn't he, to cry. He was given grace to see. Given grace to understand. "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Yes, he had an understanding of who God was. But now, after all that he had gone through, the loss of his family, the loss of all his wealth, the loss of practically everything he had, humbled right down. But what did he say at the end of it? He was full of praise, wasn't he? Because now he had a clearer view of who God was. He had a clearer view of who he was. He was truly humbled. And dear friends, in your life too, providence and grace are oftentimes inextricably linked together, and God may touch you, may touch something you value to humble you. But not for the reason of being unkind, not for the reason of punishing you, but as a loving heavenly Father, to give grace, to look to Christ. You know, we read that portion together, didn't we, this evening in Philippians. And there were many other portions that I was pondering reading, but that one so touched me tonight as I read it. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. When God works in the hearts of his people, to some degree, he will lay them low. He will remove any pride that they have, that they think that they can make themselves right with God. And that can be something. When the Lord begins to work in the hearts of his people, that they try and do. They may realize that they do this wrong. They may realize that God hates this and that and the other, and they may try and rectify those problems. But as the Lord carries on that work, yes, some sins may be put on the back burner, as it were, but they'll rise up again. Those ones you think you've crushed will come up again. And worse than that, your eyes will be open to see that's wrong, the other's wrong, and the other's wrong as well. Until what? You have to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Humbled and brought low, in the dung and in the dust. He knocks away any pride, any thought that you can do anything to save yourself. But when he lays the sinner low, he doesn't leave them there. He may leave them there for a while. He may leave them there for a long while. But only with the purpose that he will then draw their eyes heavenward to a precious Saviour. Lift their eyes up to behold the brazen serpent. That one that cures the sin sick soul. That's why he lays them low. That they may see Christ. May see his glory. And dear friends, that's the difference between a religion where Christ is at the center, the only true religion, and every other religion. Every other religion, it's the duty of man to step themselves up to heaven. Step themselves up to paradise, to improve themselves, whether it be through one life or through many lives, through incarnation or whatever else. But the beauty of Christianity is this. This man, Christ Jesus, he humbled himself. He came down to our level. Sin was laid upon him. He bore our sin. This is it, dear friends. This is the centerpiece of the gospel. Christ, the friend of sinners. He calls sinners to repentance. He draws them unto him. He works in their hearts. The Pharisees and the scribes, they despised Jesus because he ate with publicans and sinners. But what did Jesus say to them? They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And is there one here tonight that is sick? The Lord has humbled you, brought you so low, brought you to almost despair. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Is he calling you tonight? Has he laid you low? Has he laid you low so that you may look and live? God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Till we have to come in with Dear Top Lady in that hymn 143. Nothing, nothing, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. That's the pathway of humility, isn't it? We come with nothing. But praise be to God that that is how the sinner does come, with nothing. Because everything else we will bring will be stained with sin. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So as we carry on in our journey here below, God may humble you. God may strip you of all that you have. God may take your health, may take your wealth, may take your nearest and dearest, whatever he may touch. Remember this. If he's humbled you, he gives grace to the humble. But remember also this evening, if you're full of pride, he will resist you. But the problem we have, dear friends, is that our focus is constantly on the here and the now of our little life on this earth. The years are going quickly. We're full of our own self-importance. We're full of our own pride. It's all we think about mostly, isn't it, when you're here? What we're doing tomorrow, what we're doing next week, how we can do this, when we're going to move, what car we're going to get next, so on and so forth. How little we spend thinking about eternity. How little we spend thinking about the kingdom to come. What did Jesus say? Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust can corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But we're exhorted to lay up those heavenly treasures for that which is to come. So the world may look at you and laugh at you because of who you are and what you've got. That you can look back at them in the eye and say, can't you? I've got something. If you're one of the Lord's people, that can never be removed. And yes, you may scorn me because of who I am on this earth. But I trust there's heavenly treasures awaiting. That's where my focus is. Yes, I will try and do my best. Yes, I will try and carry on while I'm here on this earth to honour and glorify God, and that alone. but my eyes are heavenward. My eyes are looking to that day of judgment. My eyes are looking to that time when the sheep and the goats will be separated. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. And so on and so on. But then, what did the righteous in their own eyes say? The proud in their own eyes say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? You know, dear friends, the problem we have is this. We think we're useless. There may be one here thinking, well, how can I serve the Lord? How can I be a servant? How can I do anything that is of value in the kingdom of God? We can do a lot by being humble. We can do a lot by walking the way that the Lord walked. We can do a lot by showing forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We're not saved by what we do. Far from it. But in those that are saved, there'll be that which is seen, that humility, that crushing of pride. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We have that hope of the exaltation in due time. And therefore, we will just touch briefly on that seventh verse. We can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a rest in the wisdom of an all-wise God. There's a rest in the acknowledgement that, yes, if he sees fit to humble me still more, it's his will. He said he will care for me, so he must care for me. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, dear soul, this evening, in providence or in grace, bow down with sin. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. What does he say to those that labour and are heavy laden? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Humble yourselves, take up your cross and follow him. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in that first epistle, the first chapter, we read about what Paul endeavoured to preach, Christ crucified. And never forget, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Not the proud, but the despised. That's who God has chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Pride and humility. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. There's no glorying in the flesh. Why? So we don't worship the flesh. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What are you glorying in tonight? Are you glorying in the Lord? Or are you glorying in yourself? My thoughts go to the words of Anne Steele in 257. Ye humble souls, complain no more. Let faith survey your future store. How happy, how divinely blessed, the sacred words of truth attest. In vain the sons of wealth and pride despise your lot, your hope deride. In vain they boast their little stores. Trifles are theirs, a kingdom yours. May this be our prayer tonight. Jesus, to thee I breathe my prayer. Reveal, confirm my interest there. Whate'er my humble lot below, this my soul desires to know. So if you know the humbling hand of God upon you tonight, God has crushed your pride, brought you very, very low. Why? So that you may be seeking only him to know. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach next Lord's Day and Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 195. Assist my soul, my heavenly King, thy everlasting love to sing, and joyful spread thy praise abroad, as one through grace that's born of God. Hymn 195.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt use thy word this evening as thou seest fit. For thou alone knowest where each one here is tonight. But Lord, may many be humbled, that they may know thy grace. And what a promise it is, that thou giveth more grace. Boundless supplies of it. And Lord, as we journey on in this life, may our eyes from time to time be drawn heavenward to Christ, the friend of sinners, that one who truly humbled himself, without which we have no hope. May thy grace continually amaze us. And may we know it personally, that it is for us. So be with us each now as we leave thy house. Return to our homes, and if spared, return to a busy week. Deliver us from that haughty monster pride, and keep us very, very low, seeking only thee to know. Then, Lord, we'll be in that narrow way which leads to life eternal. So bless each soul here. Be with them, comfort them, strengthen them, go before them. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.